What's up, boppers?
What it do?
Thugs, gangsters,
chillin'.
All you people with an ear to the street.
Got my ears open.
This next hour is for you.
Oh, is it now?
Let's start it like this.
Okay, let's go.
Hilltop Radio. We got the
Hilltop,
beat.
Baby. Uh-huh.
Hilltop
we got
Radio.
Beats. All day,
we
baby.
Got the beat.
This is what you're fiending for. This is what you need this for. Beats hot as oven doors. Yeah, let's knock down doors.
Let me in this motherfucker.
And yeah, it's luxurious. And yeah, we victorious.
Uh-huh. Only y'all is getting.
Feel that shit, man. Feel that hit, man. This is for you. Only for you.
Hey, baby.
We got beats, man. This is for the streets, man. This is for the heat makers. This is for the beat takers.
I see you. You definitely do.
Not no AI, man. This is real shit, man.
I'll get it.
Down to the fingertips. Down to the voice prints.
All up. All up.
Get it. This is how we make it. This is how we take it. Take the crown, man. Take that shit, bro. Beats that make you ache. Beats that make that ass shake. Wiggle. Bro,
hear you, man, I tell you.
Beat deadly melly, and yes, yes, we always ready. Got the beat, baby. Hilltop, invincible, DJ Sean, all stars.
I see y'all, we definitely do.
Here we go, we get it. Here we go, all y'all.
All y'all, all y'all, all y'all.
All day, we get it. All day, let's bet it.
Bet it, bet it,
and here we go.
Let's start the show. All right, y'all. This is, you know, Hilltop Radio Show. We got the beats, where we bring you the hottest beats, the artists, producers in the music industry. I'm one of your hosts, Jetty the Arsenal. I got my man, DJ Sean, with me. DJ Sean, how you feeling, good brother?
I'm feeling good, man. We got a hot producer, one of the best in the business. And then before we get started, you know, we got to pay homage to Robin Lynn Maben for putting this show out all over. Syndicated all over worldwide tonight as well. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin. You are ready.
Thank you. Thank you.
My man Deuce in the building. How you feeling, Deuce?
I'm all right, King. How you doing, Jetty?
You already know, man. Salute
DJ to the DJ Sean, my brother. How you doing?
What's up, MIA?
I apologize.
They'll say the bus just, just get the wheels just, under the bus.
Oh, man. Feels good to be back with the fam, though.
You already, brother. You know, you already know. But yeah, man, so, yeah, you already know. Big shout-out to the Hilltop Invincible All-Stars. You already know. You know, we got Davion Botts with us tonight. We got my man, D-Botts. He's from Houston, Texas, you know, with over 50 million records sold worldwide. Six-time Grammy-nominated producer. He has produced some of the biggest hits from Fantasia to Mike Jones and Slim Thug to Maya and Bun B, UGK, Devin the Dude, Kirko Bangs, Chrisette Michelle, LaToya Luckett. The list goes on. This my man right here is exceptionally gifted, y'all. Man, I just say, man, he even had a breakout hit, Going Crazy. It was number one on the Billboard 100 by Natalie, and the song was by Natalie Alvarado. So salute to that. Definitely salute to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, your credentials speak for themselves, my good brother. So with no further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the Hilltop Radio Show. We got the beats. Mr. D-Botts, how are you tonight, good brother?
Good, man. Gratitude for having me.
I know whose house I'm going over around Christmas time.
Got the beats and the gifts.
And the gifts.
Yeah,
right.
Man.
He got a big old Santa Claus bag right there, boy. Multi-platinum too? Oh, yeah.
Multi-platinum, man. And this man actually, like, he's one of the real ones, y'all, because you know a lot of music today, like a lot of producers. I am one of them. I do a lot of loop patterns, and, you know, I chop shit, and then I can make real shit. But this guy right here, Mr. D-Bots, he's one of the real ones, y'all. Like, he makes music that just shines through all that shit. So, yeah, with no further ado, Mr. D-Bots, y'all.
Salute. Yeah.
So,
man, I appreciate it.
Definitely my good brother. I just wanted to say, man, with all your credentials, they just speak for themselves. So, can you please let the people know, my brother, like, who is, like, Davion Bots, D-Bots? How did your music journey begin, my brother?
I was kind of born into this thing like a lot of people. My father was a gospel quartet singer. My grandmother was an organ player, is an organ player, piano player. She's still alive. My other grandmother, rest in peace, she was a piano player. Pretty much my whole family, yeah, we got the musical bug. So I started playing drums at the age of three.
Wow.
And, yeah, age of three. Had my first gig at 6 years old.
So you went right past the play school and all that shit. Huh? You went right past the see and say, the sit and say. You went right past that. Went right to the real drums. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, the grand
man.
Piano at the age of four.
Yeah, yeah. I got a picture. I got an old Polaroid picture of my third Christmas when I was three, and I got one of those Muppet Babies drum sets.
Oh man.
Oh, that's still dope though.
That's a classic.
Yeah, that takes
it back right there.
Yeah, so, you know, started playing drums at three, graduated to the piano about 18 when I turned 18, and started producing shoes within the 5 years after that.
Wow.
Hey.
Man.
That's dope. You hear that, Sean?
Yeah, because I was going to ask him, Dee, does your grandma still plays the piano and everything?
Yeah, 94 years old. Still can get on that thing and tinkle it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Man, it's good to have your grandmom still in the world, man. My grandmother's 92, and she's still in the world, man. I'm grateful to talk to her every day, man. Yeah.
Man, there's some background.
Yeah, mine calls me every night, so I tell people, as long as she's alive, I think a lot of her prayers is what's keeping me going, because, you know, them old grannies got like a, they got a real close relationship with the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, they reach out and touch them.
Right. Right.
Enough said.
Yeah.
So how do you go about, like, producing a track? Like, how did that begin? Like, how do you approach, like, a project?
How it started, I was working at Guitar Center. In this period of my life, I'm still really a drummer, but I'm kind of transitioning to playing keys. And so I end up getting hired at Guitar Center.
Oh, wow.
And Guitar Center is what I tell people that changed my life. Like, it literally changed the trajectory of my life, because I didn't know anything about studio or producing or none of that stuff before I went into Guitar Center.
So,
but the three and a half years I worked there, it changed my whole life, because I learned about it. You know what I'm saying? I went from just being a dude who beat on drums to being able to learn to hook up studios and live sound and learn about MIDI and DAW. Yeah. And so I'm always grateful to the guy who hired me. His name was Bradley Johnson. He's a bass player that lives in Cali, and I always give him his flowers, because he started me on this production journey, you know, hiring me at Guitar Center. And every artist and every project is different. So it just depends, you know, being able to produce pretty much any quote-unquote genre. I don't believe in that word. I just produce music. I don't really like the word genre. It's different. I'm a producer who studies my artists. Like, if I'm getting ready to do a project with somebody, I'll go watch their YouTubes, or I'll go to their Instagram and kind of get a feel of, you know, their flavor. So I know what I can bring to them to, you know, take them to the next level, or just so, you know, I'm not going in blindly. So it just depends, man. Every artist is different. Every project is different. I don't have a set way of producing anybody. You know, it just depends. Right. Everything is a vibe with me. You know, as long as the vibe right, we're going to make a hit.
See, and I love that because there's definitely two different type of producers. There's those producers that's like, yo, like, I got this certain style. If you want this type of style, come to me for this style. And then there's the producers that, like you, for example, where you could, like, got a broad range where, like, you could actually, like, make it and make it accustomed to what that artist is looking for. So that is just a great and unique talent. So I commend you as well for that, good brother.
Yeah, yeah. It's just years of experience. Go ahead, bro.
See, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to ask you, man, how important it is as a producer, any music, any artist that comes to you, how important is it to study that art? How important is it to study that artist, man?
Well, I equate it to school. We all went to school. When it was time for a big test, in order to pass the test and get the best grade you could possibly get, what did you do? You studied.
Yeah.
You took notes. Mm-hmm. You paid attention in class because, right. I mean, you know, nobody want to get an F. We all want to get an A.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I study them. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, they go into sessions with artists blindly, but I've been doing it long enough and, you know, just knowing it's easier. It's like a relationship because I treat every artist like, you know, a little brother, a little sister because they're usually younger than me. And so it's building a relationship. It's not just, I'm your producer, but, you know, we still might can go grab something to eat or,
right.
You know what I'm saying, hang out and talk about other things besides music because that helps me produce you.
Yes.
You know, if I know your story and I know, you know, if I'm working with a single mom and she's trying to come up with a concept for a hit. I'm like, well, you got kids. Yeah, well, let's do a song about that struggle because women can relate to that.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Man.
So it's just different.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
And you know, R&B, you know, R&B wants to come back anyway. And the storytelling is really what's coming back to radio, thank God. Because this stuff out here, man, I don't know.
Well, R&B never left. You know, I tell people that all the time. It never left. It just took a back seat. We were still in the vehicle.
Okay.
We just wasn't in the driver's seat. We was in the in the passenger seat for a minute. Now we was in the back seat. But yeah, we getting ready to be back in the driver's seat. Yeah, because like you said, the storytelling and the passion and all that that's been missing for R&B these last couple of years is coming back. You're getting great records, you know, from great artists. So I'm looking forward to it. No, R&B is my baby. I can produce them all, but at the end of the day, you get me in the studio with an R&B artist, we're gonna make a hit.
Yeah, we need that certain like 90s 2000 sound with a new style mixed all together. Like I don't know what we just need something fresh, yo.
Yeah, I agree. It's that good. Everybody who comes to me now wants a 90s sound. Literally, the last five R&B artists that have come to me, man, can you give me some of that, like, 90s feel-good Jodeci and 112? Hell yeah, I got you.
Because that's that sound right there, man. They found that pocket, and it's like, when we left that pocket, it's like people just went weird with it.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, then you had auto-tune take over, so you'd always be singing, the singing portion of R&B. You got these computerized artists who can hide behind this you know, this plug-in. And so that kind of helped move R&B to the back because it wasn't authentic. You know, anybody could damn near make a record.
What do you...
Because you got this... you
got to make it timeless. Yeah, because like everybody can make a record, like you said. So, like, making a record, making a hit, it's got to be a timeless where you could play it back 10 years, 15, 20 years, and you'd be like, yo, that was my jam, instead of, like, somebody like, yo, what is that? What is that?
Right.
What is your...
I tell people that... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave. I don't want to interrupt you, man. I'm just trying to...
No. I was just going to say, I tell people there are several type of records. You can make a record which nobody really wants to hear. You can make a good record which, you know, somebody might play often, or you can make a great record that people will always play. And the goal is to at least make a good record that people wouldn't mind hearing often. It may not be what they go in their car when they're driving and go look for, but at least if it come on their playlist, they ain't going to hit skip. You know what I'm saying? But the great records, are the ones that, you know, you're going to play over time that can survive and stand the test of time. So that's the goal.
What is your opinion on the I know you just mentioned it. I want to go back to it, piggyback to it. What is your opinion on the auto tunes, man? Was that a good thumbs up or a good thumbs down, your opinion?
It's a thumbs down. And it became a crutch, you know. Mm-hmm. Now it's really a crutch. It's everybody, you know, we don't even have rappers. We have rappers who want to do, they want to sing now. So all the rappers is using auto-tune. So much so, they created a category in the Grammys, Best Melodic Rap. You know what I'm saying? That's how deep we are with this auto-tune, because it was never meant to be a standard. It was meant to be like a regular help, like a reverb or a compressor. It was meant to just correct notes, not to make it go through whole songs.
Right.
And T-Pain was the beginning of the end.
That's what I always tell people that. I'm like, T-Pain started this shit, yo.
Yeah, he made it popular. He made it popular, and, you know, people just ran with it. And here we are 20 years later. And
it's still every going. Every
record that you hear that somebody singing on has a touch of vocal correction. Now, depending on how good the artist is, more or less. So, you know, it's just a standard. Everybody sounds so clean and pristine now. Yeah, that's auto-tune or either melodized. So,
my brother, this is Deuce Nazareth asking you this. Who was your best artist or easiest artist to work with out of your travels?
Maya. Maya was. Maya's like my little sister now, but. Just, you know, with her success, when I met her, she was coming off the Grammy win with Lady Marmalade, and she, you know, I met her mid-2000s, so she still was she was peaking when I met her. It ain't like she was, you know, on the decline. And so,
right.
My very first time meeting her, she, you know, it's a life-changing moment when you walk in the studio and somebody you watch on the biggest stages in the world come and give you a hug and jump up and down talking about, I love your beats. It's like, wow. You know, it's a moment you never forget. You know what I'm saying? And
I agree.
We used to just hang. Like, me and Maya used to hang. Like, we would go out to eat. I would go 2-3 in the morning with her to the gym. I was kind of like her bodyguard, per se, because it'd just be me and her. And so we were cool. And she's a work. Man, Maya was my very first 18-hour session. No bull. She, 18 hours straight. No break. I took a break. I went to sleep on the couch for 4 hours.
She
got the mic out the booth. She's like, go ahead, Bot. I got you. And I woke up 4 hours later. She was still cutting. She know how to record herself.
And yo, that sounds like Mandoza, you know. That boy never went to sleep.
Man, look, I value sleep. And I told her. She's like, I know you like to go to sleep. It was cool. But she's been the easiest. You know, the blessed thing about my career is I've never had the diva artist. And the sad thing about the diva is the divas are the men. It ain't even the women.
Wow. You know, I think that was going to take a left turn like that.
The men in the industry are the divas, bro. They are. Fantasia was cool. Chrisette Michelle was cool. LaToya was like homegirl cool. It's so many more that I've worked with that were just, but I give off cool vibes too. You know what I'm saying? I'm a laid back, jokingly type dude. You know what I'm saying?
People, that's the way to go, man. You have to have your energy right. And your energy has to be right coming into the room.
Right. You come, you know, a lot of these producers, they already on some bullshit when you meet them. Yeah. I'm ready to laugh, joke, eat. Let's make some records. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, I haven't had the bad experience, and I've been doing it 25 years, so I don't think I'm going to have it in the future.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing, man.
It is.
Yeah. Especially when you can sleep for 4 hours, and you get up, and she ain't sitting down. She and she working and everything. That makes your job a little easier, you know, with 4 hours of getting sleep and stuff, man. Wow.
Yep. Makes it a lot easier. But I'm the same way as my man, Sean. Like, I value sleep, too. Like, I need that so I can re-energize, so I can get back to the business.
Bucks.
Bruh, I you ain't never seen me hashtag team no sleep. I'm taking my ass to bed, bro. I need my brain to refresh so I can be on top
right.
of it the next
this
day.
Really,
you know?
This is the one that proved so. Kevin Hart wrong, man. Everybody go night-night, not Maya.
She is.
I know. We moved along a little bit, and I know your background and stuff. What made you get into producing? What made you get into beat making? You know, besides sticking with the piano, the drums, you know, and creating your lane as well too.
Well, the infamous story is I was working at Guitar Center, and this keyboard called the Chord Triton had come out, right?
I love it.
And Guitar Center sent all the people in Houston at the time, they sent us to a hotel with 10 Chord Tritons and this old white guy teaching us about the Triton. And I'll never forget him. His name was Ed Proctor. Shout out to Ed, who used to work at Chord. And we sat for 8 hours in a hotel room at the Galleria learning this keyboard, right? So when I get back to the store, like in the upcoming days, I'm practicing what I learned. You know what I'm saying? I know how to do this. I knew this. In comes Scarface, the rapper from Ghetto Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Scarface comes up to me. He's like, how much you want for that beat? I didn't know it was a beat at the time. Like, I'm just working on the stuff
just
I learned.
Playing around, right.
And he was like, no, I need that. He's like, I got $500 right now for you. And I was like, what?
Right.
And that's literally what started me as a producer. That moment right there.
Oh, wow.
That is a great moment. That is a great story.
Yeah.
My story sucks when I met Cisco.
Now, what beat did he use? What song did he use that for? You know?
So this was 2000, the year 2000, and it was my first lesson in being a producer also, because I ended up selling him the beat, going to his house, dumping the beat, all that. The beat didn't make the album.
Oh, wow.
I got paid for the beat, but the beat didn't make the album. Now, mind you, I'm telling all my people, I'm going to be on Scarface's new album. I think I got this beat placement, and the album comes out, and who not on there? Me. And so that was a first lesson in learning, like, okay, don't talk about shit till it happens. Don't jinx it, mess it up. And so that was a big learning experience for me, because it's a bunch of records I've done with a lot of artists that didn't make the album. They don't discount that I got paid or I worked with them. But, so, you know, that was back when artists would do 30 records and only pick the top 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, DMX was famous for that. So,
yeah, we did a song. It was called Hot. Was it Houston Hot? I think it was called Houston Hot. He was trying to talk about the heat in Houston and how hot he was, like, as a rapper. And it was on some Southern vibes, some, you know, some Oregon, some 808s. But it didn't make the album. And, like, that was before we had MP3s and Dropbox and all that. So it was on the CD somewhere. I don't know where the CD is. I didn't keep it. So I don't know where it's at.
So with that being said, have any of them, like, dropped it on a mixtape or, like, some unreleased shit, like, stuff like that?
Nope.
Like, so people could hear it? So it's just in the archives?
No, it's just on somebody's hard drive. We call that hard drive album. It's a hard drive album.
Yep, there's a whole lot of hard drive albums out there. I know.
Bruh. Hits.
So many.
I mean, I'm talking about hits.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Kendrick Lamar had a story where he said he sat in Dr. Dre's studio and he just said he left him in there and left him with like 400 beats and he was like, yo, just pick whatever one you want and when I come back, just have a song ready to go. And that's what Kendrick did.
Yep. That's how it used to be. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Let's do this real quick. We'll be right back, y'all.
Your music mix variety right here. WHDP Radio.
Charlotte and the Carolinas online. Worldwide, baby.
Your number one mix variety station.
All right.
Well, also, to go back on, like, who is D-Bots and to highlight a little more, I see you are a founder of like a seasonal networking event known as the Cookout, where producers, artists, entrepreneurs can get up with each other and collaborate. Like, how does that go? And like, where can people join up and follow?
man, the cookout, shout out to my cookout family. The cookout is an event that I had a vision for in 2020. Right before the pandemic happened, I went to Atlanta, and I went to I was a producer at a songwriting camp. And okay. It was me, another producer, and like three well-known writers. They the one did the camp. And so they had about 20 people sign up for the camp, you know, paid for the camp, whatever. And it was a songwriting camp. And as the experienced songwriters got to work more and more with the inexperienced songwriter, man, they were just talking to these people like crazy. Like one person didn't know what a certain thing was. Man, how you call yourself a songwriter and you don't know X, Y, and Z? And da 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 da. We had one person leave.
Oh, wow.
One person said, like, if this is what the music industry is about, I don't want to be in it. It was another little chick there that was crying. And I just was like, because it wasn't my session, like, if it was my session, like, I would have, you know, the hood in me would have came out. Somebody would have got slapped. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's like, why
are
you talking to these people like this? But I knew, you know, I was paid to be there and I didn't want to mess up my money. So when I came back home, I was like, man, I got to create an event to where people can come to the studio and know it's a safe space. They don't have to worry about getting shot, or the women can feel comfortable. And, of course, the pandemic happened, but something happened in the middle of the pandemic. Me and my homeboy, we always have our goals. We talk at the beginning of the year and we talk in the middle of the year of our goals, like, what, you know, to keep each other accountable. And so we had come from running. We had went and worked out, and we was at his house. He's like, so what's your goals, you know, for the rest of the year? And I told him about the event I had an idea about, right? I didn't have no name or nothing. I just had the vision for it. So fast forward to January of 2021, after we still kind of in the pandemic, but a little more loose. And so we meet at the both our birthdays are in January. So that's when we kind of go out to eat and we kind of talk about what we expecting for the year. And he's like, okay, so what you doing this year? Like, what's Bots World doing? What's D-Bots doing? What's your next move? And I told him all these wonderful things, and he said, so what about that event you talked about last year? And I said, man, it's COVID, and ain't nobody gonna come to that event, da-da-da-da. And he checked me. He said, let me know when my boy D-Bots is able. And I'm like, what you mean? He said, Bots don't say he can't do nothing. He like, you the one person I know who – whatever you put your mind to do, you going to do it. And I say, wow. You know what? You're right. And I had been going back and forth at that time to Atlanta, and I was working at Icon Studios with a couple of local Atlanta artists. So I called them, and I called a couple of my people from Houston. I was like, yo, I got this idea. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, are y'all down? Bruh, everybody I called said, let me know when and where, and I'm there. So I put together my very first event in February of 2021 in Atlanta at Icon Studios. It was called the Jam Session. It wasn't even called the Cookout yet. And we had nine people. We had nine people show up. All of them I knew. I knew all nine of them. So we did it for 2 days. We made like three dope, really super dope records. And I was like, cool. So I get back home, like literally the next day when I land, everybody who went to Atlanta was like, okay, so when the next one? And I was like, oh, y'all want to do it? Y'all want to do it again? They was like, yeah, but let's do it in another city. So I say, okay, let's go to L.A. Let's do L.A. So 2 months later, we did one in L.A. We did it in L.A. It had 103 people.
Wow.
It went from nine people. Yes, it went from nine people to 103. It blew my mind. I was like, oh, this real. Like, this is real. And we had some heavy hitters come through in L.A. too. Like, we had – that's when I met – Perry Jones, and I met Raheem Devine's people, and I met this dude named Mev, the Renegade. He produced for DJ Khaled. So we had some major hitters come through. You know what I'm saying? And so, of course, when I land back at home, what they saying, when the next one? Now we have officially labeled it The Cookout. That's the name of the event now. I had people doing merch. I had people doing, because it didn't caught on. So the next one we did was in New York. We go to New York. New York is off the chain. So just fast forward, we do New York that first year. Then we go 2 months later, we go to Miami. 2 months later, we do the DMV. It is official. The Cookout is here. Now, we done went to all these cities, cooked up all these records. What the hell are we going to do? Because I don't believe in hard drive records. So I put out an album. That January of 2021 was the first Cookout Volume 1 album. It was a collaborative effort of like 32 artists from the past year. Well,
damn.
for the first time in history, that album went platinum. There's a plaque in my studio right now. It was the very first independent collaborative album to go platinum. The very first. We made.
I'm not gonna lie, yo. I kind of remember the cookout, DJ Sean. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of remember that album going around in Baltimore, yo. Well, I kind of remember that, yo.
Well, I got one of the songs. I got one of the songs you advertising on your website at the cookout.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. All of that. That's platinum, baby. We plaqued up.
KDMHM.
Money Hungry Movement. Shout out to my boy KD.
Okay, KD. Yeah, that was fire right there.
Yeah, we got a video. We shot a video for that too.
I was checking it out when I was converting it over to MP3. I was like, oh yeah, that video's clean too, man.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, shout out to my film and arts department of Ali Abdin and my boy Kendrick James actually shot the video. So, you know, I'm blessed to do this with a lot of dope people.
And you know, Bots, man, I was listening to you talk, man. And what I'm gonna call you tomorrow, man, and come up with an idea when you do these cookouts, man, and you have a hot song. Let's break it not only, you know, it's going to be on your album, man. Let's bring it over here on a Thursday night and break it on. We got Beats Radio Show, man, with the artist.
And I appreciate it.
On that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we would love to break it.
We'll break everyone up worldwide, man. Real talk. Which you'll hear.
Man, that's
invite
love.
Invite you and all the artists, whatever song that you want us to break, we'll break it. You come on, and then we'll conversate with you and the artist that's involved in that particular song.
Yes.
That's love, bro. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man.
We got plenty of records.
Hey, man.
We got
that's a number called,
yeah,
it's called
32
networking.
Tracks.
Yeah, it's called networking, baby.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a networking king. We just got back from Chicago last week from our summer cookout in Chicago, man. And if you look on my page, you'll see some of the different artists who did their own personal wrap-ups. But it was a great time, man. We have expounded. We started with 9 people and 1 room of just, you know, cooking. We have 5 rooms, and we got classes now, film classes, mental health classes, producer class. It's evolved. The event has evolved. So much so to where it runs itself. Like, this was the first cookout last week. I didn't do nothing. I just walked around. Because we got engineers now. We got songwriters. We had, like, 15 new artists come to the cookout for the first time. And we getting ready for Dallas. Dallas will be in November. And it'll be the closeout of the year. And we excited about Dallas because Dallas is going to be off the chain.
Well, we'll do the Dallas, you know, after the Dallas event, you know what I mean? We'll work it out, bring them on here, man. Real talk.
Well, we start on Thursday night. We could go live from the cookout if you want to. I ain't tripping. We could definitely do something like that.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh,
we could
shit.
Do that. Play the music. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Even better,
my good brother.
Yeah. I'm with it. I'm with it, bro. I am with it.
Ain't nothing to it but to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and also, man, shouts out to Deep. Shouts out to Deep, man, for putting this together with you as well, man. When I reached out, when he hit me up and about an artist, and I asked him, you know, I know you got some talented producers and stuff, and he was the one he mentioned and said, "Whoop, I got somebody for you."
Yeah, that's my cousin, man. That is my cousin. Blood cousin, we go way back. Some of his first records I produced. I'm very proud of what he's accomplished and what he's accomplishing because he's, you know, he's doing his thing and it's always love with him and me. You know, I have some of the stuff I've achieved in my career has been solely because of him. So I'm always grateful for, you know, real people, you know, that support what I do and, you know, they go before you even, you know, you step in the room. They already talked you up and bigged you up. So shout out to my cousin. Ain't nothing but love.
Well, he bigged you up with myself, man. And you know, and hey, man, sky's the limit now, my brother.
Yeah, that's definitely the universe. We don't believe we're going to go past the sky.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Galaxies, universes, all that.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So I just got to ask you, my brother, like, how did you run into Mike Jones? How did you run into some of these other people besides Maya? Like, how did the Mike Jones connection happen?
So my first production deal was with Rap-A-Lot.
Okay.
Signed that in 2002. And so with that being, you know, Rap-A-Lot at that time was one of the biggest, especially in the South, one of the biggest labels. So it gave me access to a lot of Houston artists like Zero, Paul Wall, UTP, Big Mike, of course, Scarface, you know what I'm saying? And so after I left that deal, I signed another production deal with Swisher House. And that's how I met Mike Jones. I was Mike Jones' engineer on all his biggest hits. And I did a couple of records with him. Yeah, the original Steel Tippin, the one that had Chameleon on that. My boy Big Time actually co-produced that. We did that one. And so, that's how I met Mike. And once again, it was number, man, me and Mike started working.
So
day
you
one.
You engineered that. Tippin. This is why. You engineered that?
I didn't do that one. I engineered the day after Hell Broke Loose 2 album.
Okay.
Me and Big Time engineered that whole thing. And that's when me and Mike met. I met Chameleon L. That's when I met Paul Wall. That's when I met a lot of the Houston cats. And then just word got around. That's how I ended up working with Kurt Cobain and working with Marcus Manchild and all these other
network
Houston artists.
Botch, man, this got me thinking, man. Is Houston, do you think Houston, the rap game from Houston, is always left out of talk, hip-hop talk?
Yes.
Rap talk.
It is. I'm going to tell you one of my proudest moments of being from Houston. I don't know if y'all remember, between 2005 and 2007, Houston was kind of running the rap game.
It was.
And I went to the BET Awards because we was nominated with Mike Jones. We were nominated. So I get to L.A., and Sunset and all these places around the Beverly Center, everything is stripped down with nothing but Houston rappers all over the city. I'm talking about Paul Wall with his grill, Mike Jones, Slim Thug, because at that time, Still Tippin' was – that was everybody loves Still Tippin'.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was a moment in time that Houston kind of had the rap game. We did. Mm-hmm. If you looked on the charts in the top 50, we had several. You know what I'm saying? We had Mike doing his thing. We had Slim who was just getting ready to sign with the Neptunes and doing his thing. And you had Paul Wall doing his thing. You definitely had Chameleon doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? So we had four of them. Oh, guys, yeah, they was in the top. And I think, you know, I think we fumbled the ball because we got there and didn't know what to do with it. And because Houston is always left out. You know, we do have UGK, and we got, you know, the Ghetto Boys, and, you know, you got Slim Thug. But who else? Who else we got? You got Mike Jones, of course. You know, you can't deny Mike Jones, our record, the record we got now, is now triple platinum. His first album is triple platinum. So you can't deny the numbers. The numbers don't lie. But I don't think we've had the staying power of an Atlanta or New York or even a West Coast or a Philly or Miami because, you know, Houston is we're a gatekeeping city. We don't like to work with each other. This networking we talking about doing, they don't like doing it. And that's the one thing that hampers my city is that everybody wants to be an island. Nobody wants to work together. And I tell people, like, if y'all work together, we got the talent. We got rappers. We got some of the dopest rappers. I mean, Ken the Man, she's doing her thing. Megan's doing it. Y'all letting the women take over now. Y'all ain't even – the dudes ain't even getting the shot. Yeah, because, right. You know, we don't work together. And I wish it was different, but it's not. And I'm not the one to try to change it. I'm just gonna go to another city and work. So I'm always in Atlanta, and I travel doing my event in different cities with different artists. So I definitely think we get left out in the big scheme of things when you talk about rap cities.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on that because Scarface, you know, in a interview he did a while back, he said Houston's always getting pissed on, you know, sometimes, and they got something. They had, you know, you just narrated it. At one time, they had like six or seven artists in the top 100, top 50.
I saw my own eyes. Like I couldn't believe it. You know, you go to L.A., you think you're gonna see all the stars, of course, because it's the BET Awards. There's a lot of fanfare and press. And it's just flags. I mean, Sunset had Paul Wall. It had Slim Thug. It had Mike Jones. It had Chameleon. It had all of them just draped.
Cameras everywhere.
You had people it was just flags and banners. And I'm like, damn, H-Town really was, you know, I was at the mall, and Slim Thug come up to me. I'm like, you know, man, you know, H-Town in this thing, huh, boss? I'm like, dog, we deep. Like, we deep.
Super deep.
And we just didn't know what to do with it. You know, had some better steps been taken, I think, you know, Houston would be a little bit more respected. But, we're here.
I mean, it's definitely recognized because people definitely commend y'all on definitely all the artists that you just named. So, like, everybody's a legend in their own right. So I recognize Houston without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So
I'm gonna even go even better, man. I always put Houston in front of Atlanta. I always do that for some reason. Because
I do find Scarface, yo.
Yeah, the Ghetto Boys, Scarface. You know what I mean? That's the reason why, because they were the biggest talent.
They were.
There's no one really. I mean, I remember, you know, MC Shy D was the first Atlanta rapper back in the 80s. But I mean, other than T.I. and you know, and
you got the Dungeon Family though.
Yeah, but they weren't really that solid hip hop like the Ghetto Boys. They're more crack, underground. Yeah, it's different. Yeah, that's my opinion.
I just think Atlanta helps each other. All their artists, every city has its cliques, but Atlanta's cliques work together.
Yeah,
that's the difference. If I had to say a difference between Houston and Atlanta, because Houston definitely got the talent. Houston cliques don't work together. Atlanta's does.
And that's where the difference lies. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why everybody, like at one point, I remember everybody was migrating to Atlanta. Everybody was like, I got to go to Atlanta for my deal. I got to get to Atlanta. Atlanta was the hot spot after New York.
It was. And a lot of Houston people transplanted in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
so many northern artists call other northern artists that went down south. They be like, man, they betrayed the culture, man. Like, how you gonna talk about all this up north East Coast shit and then go down south and then start rapping like these niggas?
Who's out there today, man? Any independent artists or any artists already out there that you would like, man, I would love to work with him or her and change, you know, their style into another style. Anybody out there that catches your ear or eye?
I definitely want to work with Megan. I've spaces with her. I want her to do like a dope ass girl record. You know, her shit is always, you know, about stunting and all that. I want to do a record like the Throwback King, Queen Pen, like a party ain't a party till it ran on. So, you know what I'm saying? Let's get a party record, not an ass bouncing record. That's all Megan do to me. Definitely her. it's more being a woman than popping your pussy and getting Birkin bags. You got to do more than that.
Yeah, she got to do more. I know she got more of that, but maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the industry pushing that narrative. I don't know.
But she's at a point she could do whatever she wants.
She can do a
party record and people gonna get with it.
Yeah.
But she just, you know, she's caught in that little sound she's in. I think she needs to graduate. I would love to work with definitely wanna work with Megan the Scientist. I've been wanting to work with her for a long time. The one who got that new Blue Fever record that's blowing up. And Mariah the Scientist. I don't know why I said Megan. Mariah the Scientist. She's dope for a minute. So those are two I would love to work with right now. I don't really know too many other ones that I think I could change anything or do it. But them, you put me in the studio with anybody, I'm gonna make a hit. But them two, yeah, I would come up with some fire with them.
Yeah, we have Double Chocolate is listening, and she loved the where you made talked about and the pussy, so I just wanted to let you know. She agreed with you about popping the pussy music. That's the type of music she liked listening to.
I mean, you gotta think about it. When Left Eye was alive, people was fucking with that shit. People was fucking with the brat. What happened?
We ratchet now. And the culture has shifted. And it's going to take somebody like a Megan or even maybe Nicki, somebody to do. And Nicki does party records, but she kind of, you know, outdated, and it's a new vibe. So it's a whole new crowd. You know, back in the day, you know, 15 years ago, your target audience was 18 to 32. Now, in this present age, your target audience is 8 to 18. That's your target audience. You want a big record? Get them 8 to 18. Because why? They the ones who going to stream it and put it in TikToks and all this shit all day. Music has just changed.
But
who's going to do it? You know, Ken the Man. I told Ken's producer, because I'm really cool with him. I said, yo, let's do a record with her where she not as ratchet. Because she can spit. But she ain't got to spit about, you know, bitches being jealous of her on every record. It's more to life. Just bitches being jealous.
The only person I noticed that can spit the same shit, and I'm there for it every time he drops an album, is motherfucking Pusha T.
He's the only one
that can speak the same shit for 20 years, and I'm still there for it.
I believe if a woman ever did a party record or even a positivity record, she would blow the fuck up. Because you got a whole generation of women who want that. Not all young women are popping their ass or want their Birkin bags or they bundles and all that shit. So you get somebody who go against the grain, that's how you make hit records, when you go against the grain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And Double Chocolate, she over here talking about, I love when Brandy raps.
Yeah, Brandy can spit, though.
Yeah, she can, though. People spit on Brandy.
Yeah, but, you know, we idolize the Cardi B's and the Megan's and, you know, shit, they do records called WAP. And I'm not mad at none of that. I'm not at all, because it has its place in the industry and always has.
Yes.
You go back to 357 and Total. They didn't rap about popping their pussy so much, but they have fuck records. Look at Adina Howard. She wasn't even a rapper, really. But they still, you know, so it was always been there. It's just at the forefront.
Look at Luke and the Two Little Crew.
I used to jam that all the time. So I would love to sit with Megan and if she would let me, or even, you know, Ken the Man, some of them people who on their tour, they got to come out bouncing their ass. God dang. And, you know, damn, that's it? That's all you offer? It's some stilettos, some Birkin bags, and you get 27 feet or whatever it sticks you. Bruh, it's the Glow Gorilla.
It's getting repetitive, I feel you.
Hey, let's do this, man. Let's get into another jam off the Cookout album, Volume 1, man. I think and the reason why I went to that one, D, is because it seemed like, your first one is your baby. You know, you birthed this thing. Now it's growing into an adult, man. And when I was checking your checking the Cookout website out, man, I love it, man. I love it, man. I love it. And I'm ready to get behind it, man, and help push that thing, man.
Man, gratitude, my brother. Gratitude. Yeah.
Anything you need, he'll top there for you, good brother.
I appreciate y'all.
And this is the Cookout album, Volume 1. This is Right Now. We'll be right back.
So nice, just fly, get high, baby, let's fly, get my delay, I'ma love on you, baby, all night.
So nice, just fly, get high, baby, let's fly.
Toronto. Doing what he acts like Simon Say So. I make a bust like a Draco. He say I'm heaven, sin, I got a halo. Behind him, baby, he on Play-Doh. I can roll up the smoke, baby. We could get high. Start doing all the freaking shit you like. Oh, you like that? Oh, killing like the that? Pussy. Double homicide. I love him when the niggas deep inside. Yeah. Like a roller coaster, should I take him for a ride? I'm on birth control, so I let him bust his head. On my toes when I'm riding on it, right? He ain't the best, ain't never had it like that. Like, I love it how you kiss it, love it how you touch it, love it how you lick it, how you suck it, and he rub it.
Just to show a nigga he replaced me. I came to get the money, what you came to do? She said, why I get the feeling you a player, boo? Told her King, sit still, I ain't chasing you. I'm thinking Jamaica on the balcony, chasing you. Talking leg on the rail, rearrange you. Snatching frontals off, vacation overdue. Come give me that shit to make it hard to get over you. 42 shots of 4-2 by day 4. So fucked up, we forgot what we came for. Ass on yikes, what you changed for? Show that ass off, I ain't tripping, they don't want war. Line it up, tell that nigga blowing up your phone that his time is up. Fuck what they say, I say you fine as fuck. Fuck with me, be careful, get stuck with me. Calculated moves, ain't never been loved with me, crying.
Right, that's off the Cookout album, Volume 1, right now. And who's all on that joint, D?
That was produced by Misfit Beats. You got my daughter actually sung the first verse, Dana Bernays.
Oh, wow.
LaJuan, Black Swan is singing a hook. Titanic is on the second verse. And Crown, who is Crown, is on the third verse. That was our, the crazy thing about that record, that was our very first video shoot. We did that. We shot that. We recorded that record at the Cookout Miami in 2021, and we shot the video in February of 2022 at the skating rink in Atlanta.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Yeah, man, we it was dope. It was a dope experience.
And you guys can go to meetbots.com, and you can go on there right on his website right now, and you guys can go check that video out.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope, man. But we've done some great stuff in such a short amount of time. I'm really proud and excited of where the event has gone. We're getting ready to do a Grammy push with the Cookout Afrobeat album that dropped earlier this year, and we're dropping a comedy album in two weeks. So we're going to be submitting those for Grammy nomination in 2 weeks. So I'm excited about that, too.
Hey, man. Congratulations to you, man. Hell yeah.
Big support, bro.
Go ahead, Jetty. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I really digged Who Is Crown, yo, that last verse. I really was digging that, bro. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, Crown dope, man. Who is Crown?
I like his cadence and everything, bro.
And here's the crazy part of him. He wasn't even supposed to be at the Cookout. One of the people who he knew bought a ticket and couldn't come, so they gave him the ticket. So
wow,
he ended up coming, and then he got a plaque. He ordered his plaque. He's on the platinum one. So
life is crazy like that, right?
Man, you take advantage of every opportunity, bro.
Every opportunity. Eminem said it before, man. I mean, it's like you only get one shot.
That's I don't believe in second shots. Yeah, I'm taking that one, bro. Yeah.
Hey, I'm pushing your your website out. You wrote a book, D-Bus?
I did.
Tell us about your book, man.
I wrote a book called How to Live the Stress-Free Life. It's a book I should have wrote a long time ago. It's more of a self-help than it is, like, literature, but it just, you know, people wonder how I live. Like, I haven't had a stressful day in over 20 years. Like, people see me at the age of 48 and think I'm 38. Just say, like, man, you don't age. You don't have grades. You this and that. You know, my classmates look like they fucking 70 years old. And they like, how you still looking young? I'm like, I don't stress. Y'all, the stuff y'all stress about, well, how you don't stress? I say, well, it ain't like I don't have bills. I don't have circumstances that come against me. I just have a different mindset than y'all do. I'm not finna, you know, you say, yeah, the opening line of the book is change your mindset, change your life. And that's what I did. 20 some odd years ago, I refused. I had a friend who died in his sleep. And when they got the autopsy back, his mom told us, like, he had unhuman, this was the word the doctor, the autopsy, he had unhumanly amounts of stress in his body.
Damn.
And that day, I said, I will never stress again. And I had
stress really kills people.
Yeah, it do. It releases toxins in your body. Because I did a whole research on the book. You know, I researched before I wrote it. And I have a whole chapter on just statistics of what stress can do to your body. And you'd be amazed once you read and you dig deep into stress. And so I'm a mental health advocate for that very reason. And that's why at the cookout.
It literally could cripple you.
Yeah, that's why at the cookout we have a mental health class. Every cookout we have, I have a doctor. She's a doctor. Shout out to Dr. Panatoni from Philadelphia. She uses my book in her course, and she's a therapist. And she uses the book in her course with her students because she's just like, this book is like one of the best books I've read. It's a self-help. It just teaches you practical ways to de-stress. You know what I mean? Because stress will take you out. Like you just said, it'll cripple you.
You know, D-Man, we do radio shows as well, too, man, for community wellness and everything. It's not always... It's not always music. You know, we do stuff for the community and stuff. And, man, you know, next month, man, we'll bring you back, man, so we can talk about your book, man, and invite the doctor on with you.
I would love
that. And help people that are out there that are going through stress. You know, kids could be stressing you. Your job could be stressing you. Your partner could be stressing you. You know, and sometimes people stress their own selves.
That's right.
And we would love to bring you back on about that, man, because, you know, people need to hear stuff like this on you know, you can die from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yeah,
I try to tell people that all the time. They be like, why you smile so much? I'm like, yo, smiling is a lot easier and less stressful on your face than being angry or being moody or whatever. Like, people don't understand, like, there's stress scars in your face as well. Like, there's muscles in your face that people don't realize that the stress is easier on your face the more you smile, and that's crazy.
Yep. It's small stuff, man. Like, I refuse to let stress take me out. Like, I love living too much to let me worrying about a bill or something or whatever, life, any, a flat tire, whatever. I'm not going to stress over nothing. There's nothing that you can, that's going to make me stress. You know what I'm saying? So I just wrote that, and it's been a 2-time bestseller. I've sold out 3 times at every event I've had it at, and it's a lot of people who it's helped, man. And so I be trying to help people, man. You know, I'm a unicorn, and I know that. Everybody don't think like me, act like me, live like me. So I try to just give nuggets of how I do live to people. So, you know, because life is meant to be enjoyed, not stressed out and worried and all that other shit.
Now, can you say the name of your book again? Because I'm telling you right now, you just sold me on that whole storyline. So basically, I'm going to go buy that book, definitely the first chance I get, probably tomorrow. And what's the name of that book again, if you don't mind saying it again for me and the
people? How to Live the Stress-Free Life. It's independently published, but I use a publisher here in Houston, and so I can send y'all the link. Like, I'll send it to DJ and send you the link to get the book. But you can purchase it, and then we do ship. We'll ship it to you.
Well, you know, you got me and DJ Sean email, so you can just send us the link.
Yeah, I can send it to y'all, and we'll get it to you. I just had to order like 600 more copies because we sold out. We keep selling out. So
what we do, man, I'm thinking now what we do, whoever wants to be involved in it, man, we'll purchase the book, you know, and read the book. And so then, you know, when you come on, you know, when you come back on. And like I said, we would love to invite the doctor on too, because, you know, what she has to say is vital to anybody that works in the medical field, you know, especially health, man. I open them up with open arms, because, you know, you got family members that think they doctors and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is what we might do, Sean. This is what we might do, man. Buy a couple books and we, you know, have a giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm with it.
Well, man, looks definitely like you stuck with Hilltop for a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, let's go.
Let's go. Let's rock, man. I'm ready to rock, man. I'm ready to network, ready to connect. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it. Y'all stuck with me. It ain't just it's a companionship. You know, it's both of us. It's not just y'all. Y'all stuck with me now.
I'm thinking about doing an awards show next year here in Charlotte, and also I'm bringing Southside Jamaica Queens Day to Charlotte as well next year. And man, you know what though? I think we should do a seminar on that book, man. And because, you know, being an artist is stressful too, as well too, man. And that'll be a good ideal breaker as far as, you know, helping artists out and everything as well too, man. And doing a seminar on that as well in the park. Yeah,
man, and you know, we gonna be there live and direct. So anybody that wanna pull up, you gonna catch all of us there live and direct, Jamaica Queens.
Hey man, look, I fly, I travel. You give me the dates, and I'm there.
Yeah, we bring a Titantron out there, man. So you know, we could, you know, show the statistics and stuff up, you know, so people can see and stuff. You know, a little bit of education while you're having fun, man. Ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Nope. Not at all.
Knowledge is key. Knowledge is power, man.
That's a fact.
But yeah, man.
Money Mike, you there with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, man. How you feeling tonight?
Man, I'm feeling good. Definitely enjoying the vibe, man. The vibe. Them hits, them bangers. So enjoying the bangers, most definitely.
That's what's up, my good brother. You already know, much love. You already know. If you have any questions that you would like to ask my good brother here, Mr. D-Bots?
Oh, man, just hearing, I was listening to who all would you work with. What are there any other Houston artists that you have worked with?
Too many people in Houston I ain't touched, whether it's Killer Callion, Carmen San Diego, Big Mike.
Man, I love to hear Everett.
Man. Yeah, Allegro Adams, Yolanda Adams, Billy Cook, Devin the Dude. It's not too many in Houston I ain't touched. Yeah, I've been able to work with. I've been blessed to work with a lot of local artists.
Is Devin the Dude still doing stuff, or is Devin the Dude like chilling right now? You know,
he's still on. He ain't putting out no new music, but he's. I just saw him on. He did a live performance somewhere, so he's still doing it.
Yeah, because I'm definitely that's my guy right there. I'll definitely cop some new music from that guy.
Yeah, you know, he pushes the Coffee Brothers more than himself now.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely noticed that.
So, yeah, but me and Devin got a joint that's crazy. I did She's Gone from Pedal to the Metal. I believe that's
the one. I'm going to find that. I'm going to look that up, bro.
Yeah, I did She's Gone. And I did another one. He was on the Day L Broke Loose 2 album I produced. So, on Swisher Hollis. That's where me and him met, because he was with Rap-A-Lot. That's when I first met Devin at Rap-A-Lot.
You're right. He was with Rap-A-Lot. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Rap-A-Lot. That was big back in the day, just like Rockets.
Yeah, I'm telling you. When I signed, you know, I was about 5 years from that you know, the heyday of mine playing tricks on me. So they were still relevant. They were still pretty big and still, you know, making waves. You know, they've kind of died down. And, you know, he let his son kind of take over and do some other stuff. But, shoot, Rap-A-Lot, I ain't got nothing negative to say. I don't care what everybody else say. I know what I'm saying.
He's like, it developed me into the man who I am today. I feel you. Like, hey, yeah. Everybody speaks their own path. Everybody speaks their own journey, and you got to walk in your own shoes. So I feel you on that, brother. Like, your experience is not somebody else's experience. Neither is theirs yours.
Nope. I mean, I was a producer, so I wasn't an artist. So those are two different lanes.
If you really look at, like, you videos that are out there or any skits, any comedies or anything, like, people are always, the artists are the ones that people, like, you know, are directly focused on as the target, and the artist is the one that's always complaining. You never really hear the producer complain too much and if the producer complains, once again, the target is the artist.
right, exactly. Exactly.
It's like it always circles back to the artist. Like, I don't know why. They get paid, and it's like they get paid the least, like it's the worst.
Unfortunately, it's like that.
And, like, do you have anything to elaborate on that? Like, could you explain that? Like, on, like, why, like, the industry has not changed? Like, why are we still having the artists, like, not making pennies on the dollar like that?
Well, you know, streaming took over and changed the game. Because even though you might have been an independent artist, like, I was with Slim Thug and the Boys in Blue when they was moving 100 units out their trunk. You know what I'm saying? They were independent. They didn't have a deal. And, you know, you selling a CD for $10 that only cost you $1 to make. And I went to the Texas Relays with them and watched them move 50, 60K.
I remember them days. I remember them trunk, the CDs out the trunk days.
You know what I'm saying? So even though they were independent, shoes, they could leave out of Austin with a hot, shit, 40, 50K on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? At least.
That's good money.
Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, we was all tripping when he signed with them. Because we're like, you're a millionaire. Out the trunk.
But back then, right. it was signing and, like, being independent. It was like, you would get people like Master P, but it was, like, hard to, like, for everybody to do that type of thing. Because they, like you said, like, before, to highlight on what you said before, like, everybody doesn't understand how to go that route, like, where you said Houston dropped the ball. Like, everybody doesn't know how to take that next step.
Right. Exactly. So, streaming is one of the best things and worst things that could have happened to artists at the same time. One, it's better because you can get your music out quicker and to more outlets, but you make .0000000007 cents per stream. And it's you can't even equate it to being an independent artist when you sold CDs. Because like I said, you sold a $10 CD out your trunk that only cost you $1 to make when you talk about a graphic insert and a CD labeling. So you're making $9 a profit per CD. So you take that and turn that into .0000007 streaming. These independent artists are dying. The only way you can make money is to have, you know, some live performance or some dope merch team, but most independent artists are they 9 to 5 in it and doing the career as, you know, I mean, you know, doing a 9 to 5 and doing that the music as they got to kind of make it a hobby. It can't be leading because you can't live off of it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of unfair. You know, artists don't make no money unless now they produce or they write. Because yeah. If you're not a writer and you're not a producer, you got somebody who you paying me for the track, you paying me for the studio time, you paying a writer to write the record, and the artist ain't got no money. You ain't where's your money?
Yeah, you ain't make no money.
You gonna have to go. Yeah, you got to go perform this live and get some paid engagements. And so I was just telling somebody earlier today that the music game, really the entertainment industry, is the biggest risk of reward pretty much out there, because there's no guarantee on your ROI. You're not going to get a return on investment. Mm-hmm. So especially with streaming, streaming has really changed streaming has taken these independents out the game, bro. It's just, and it's sad.
Yeah, people be making, when you got a big industry behind you with big money, and then you got them bots. It's crazy.
Yeah, you these You know it's bad when you got Snoop Dogg talking about he, you know, had 30 million streams and only made, what did you say, $8,000?
What?
You know what I'm saying? That's, yeah, you remember he pitched a big fit, I think it was last year, and he was just like, we got to, it got to be a change. Because these DSPs are eating, bro. They are eating off these artists because that's the only way they can get their music out. You know, now you got some independent, distributors. But they up against the, you know, I go through an independent distributor who got to go against a lot of red tape just to put out records because it's just, you know, it's sad. So
it's, yeah.
It's always been like that, but streaming has highlighted it. Artists always had to make money with touring and merch and performances, but now with this streaming game, it's highlighted, man. It sucks.
Yeah. And then like, yeah, really once they X the CDs out, and then they started making cars where there were no CD players, it was like you had to stream.
You have to. You have to have an aux player. You have to have an MP3 player or a USB or something like. You know what I'm saying?
You had to. Yeah. And now they don't even make cars like that no more. Like you have to get it like specially inserted if you want a CD player. That's crazy.
Yeah, so
yeah, they didn't change everything.
It's sad. It's sad because you have a lot of top, and music is just getting bigger and bigger. You know, you have like 80,000 artists upload songs to streaming platforms every day. That's daily, 80,000. 80,000 songs every day.
Yeah,
so it's not no. Yeah, we're in the music industry because what happened is I tell them the pandemic. The pandemic made everybody home recorders, so everybody can record at home. You can literally, it used to take, you had to get a record and get approved and all this. It used to take 2 to 3 weeks to put a song out because it was just, it wasn't, technology wasn't there yet. Now you can put a song out in 2 to 3 hours. You can record it, upload it, mix it.
And it's out there.
Make you some artwork, and by that night, you done dropped you a song. It's for the world. Yeah. Everybody in the world can hear.
Yep.
So we just get time. It's 30,000
views. You get 30,000 views in like 3 hours. It's crazy.
Yep. And 17 cents. You can go buy you a piece of gum with all them views. Ain't that crazy? It's just streaming is like I said, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. And so we are as independent advocates. Independent artist advocates, we are trying to push that narrative to make them get paid more. Or there's even sites like even.com is a good distribution site now that the artists get half of what they make. The company gets half and they get half. It's more of a, but you don't get the big platform. So, you know, it's sad, man. It's just sad.
I think I even saw somewhere, bro, like, tell me if this is true or not. I think I saw somewhere where they were even trying to petition for like benefits for artists.
Yeah. Okay. You got the people with the Grammys, Music Cares. I'm a part of them too, you know.
Okay.
And so they're trying to get benefit because some artists choose to be starving artists. Now, I tell artists, like, if you're starving, I like to eat. You know, if you look at my Instagram, you're going to see just as much food posts as you're going to see music because I like to eat.
Right.
But these artists, I can't relate to no starving artists. When I started in the music game, I had 3 jobs. Because I had to do what I had to do till I could do what I wanted to do.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, they're door dashing and hustling and trying to make this dream that they have. And sometimes I have to be, you know, I tell them I'm not trying to be a dream killer, but the odds are you ain't going to make it. Depending on what make it looks like to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's not going to be a star. Everybody's not going to eat off the music. I haven't had a 9-to-5 since 2002. That ain't everybody's testimony.
That's not, yeah. And
you know what I mean?
People get confused, bro. People get real confused with that real quick.
So, you know.
Star. No, there's no overnight star.
Nope, not at all. But, you know, the internet has made people, you know, you get a song, and one song go viral, you get 50 million views, you know, now you think you know, you've arrived. Well, you got to make another song that's got to have more views the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, you know, with the algorithm of these social media sites, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, because you got to keep that consistently up.
So social media and streaming have changed the game. So
That's why we got a lot of one hit wonders in this world.
Oh my God, yes, Sean.
Yep.
There's too many of them.
Exactly.
And some of them do it on purpose because they know that they could get money off that TikTok challenge or a viral dance video, and then they out the game after they make a couple million.
Yep.
And then they go invest in something, like real estate or something, and then they just be out. Like, I think I saw a video with Ace Hood, and people was like, yo, what happened to my man Ace Hood? Yo, blah, 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 blah. So he went live and was just like, yo, what I'm doing lately is minding my business and handling my business. Thanks for asking, y'all. And then, like, just got off the live, and I was like, this guy is crazy.
It was more than that. He had a discrepancy with the label. The label sat him down for a while.
Yeah, he ain't put that out there.
That's the reason why he ain't done nothing.
Yeah, he just said, I'm minding my business and I'm handling business. And he was like, I got my money and I'm doing other things with it.
Yeah. So, the artists are the last to get paid. So, you know, you gotta add another skill to just being an artist. You got to be a songwriter. You got to be, you know, a lot of artists produce themselves now because, you know, paying producers or just going, you know, even that producer's game has gotten messed up. You know, you can go on YouTube for free, find any kind of, you can go type in any type beat you want and you got a million choices.
Yep. And now that you say that, to touch on that subject where you said the producer game got crazy, like, where are we going with this AI? How far do you think this is going to go?
It's going to go as far as everybody allows it to go. I did a master class 3 weeks ago in Austin with B. Cox, and they asked the question, some of the students in the class, so are you afraid of AI? And I said, no. And they were like, why? I said, because I can play. AI can syncopate anything, but it can't play, and it can't give you feelings, and it can't give you vibes. It can give you notes and beats, but it can't give you vibes.
Yeah.
There's nothing like sitting down with an artist in the studio and being able to create something from scratch. AI can't do that.
Nope.
You know what I mean? And while I've heard some dope AI records, I'm not saying it ain't dope, but it still don't. Man, I had a session last month. Blew my mind. I had a session last month. I did this track for this artist. He had gave me the concept. We in the studio at the same time. I'm creating it. Now, I create pretty fast. Like, I can have the basis of a track in like 10, 15 minutes.
Right, right.
And
right.
He had the whole song done in 10, 15 minutes. I say, how did you write that quick?
Yeah, how?
Because I went to ChatGPT. ChatGPT, and I just changed a couple of words. Got the whole song done. I'm talking about verse, chorus, it blew my mind. I was like, damn. Is that where we at? But
that's where we at,
the song
bro.
Was dope. It was dope. And I told him, I said, you know, you can, you know, that ain't really your intellectual property. He's like, once I change a couple words, it is.
It really is. After you change a couple words, he is right about that. As messed up as that is.
So that's where we going with it.
Yep,
I'm not afraid of it because, like I say, original people who are able to create from blank canvases as a producer are always going to be in need because we rare. Because a lot of these beat makers and loop, I call them loop aggregators, are drag and drop. You're just dragging and dropping patterns and loops. And I'm not knocking that because a lot of people eat like that. But I can sit down and you could tell me what key you want your song, you know, and what kind of changes you want. And I can play that shit. You can't tell AI that.
No, you can't tell AI that. Nope.
So there's levels to this shit.
There's definitely levels to the shit. You're right.
Yeah. So it's here, and it's not going nowhere. It's just not. Mm-hmm. So, I think they're trying to put some things in place to where AI can't win, like, awards or can't do this and that. And so, you know, it's only so far it's going to take you. You're going to really have to get back to original creations, which is sitting down in the studio. That's why a lot of these records don't have that. We talked about classics because they're not composed the right way.
And it's not coming from the soul. It's coming from a baseless device. It's not. There's no soul. It's coming from a baseless device.
Yeah, and so you got AI writing the damn lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So We got to get back to sitting in the studio with the producer and the songwriter. Some of the biggest records you ever seen, if you look at, like, when Jay-Z was doing that album and Timbaland was playing a beat, they in the studio together.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't sending them a beat pack.
Nope.
You know what I mean? We're indifferent. I'm not a beat pack producer. People know. Either you're going to come to me or I'm going to come to you. We're going to sit down and create this thing to give it a different vibe than what you've been doing. I'm not sending you a beat pack. I don't send beat packs. I'm not a beat pack producer. I'm going to sit down and you tell me what you want producing, no matter what the vibe is, whether it's rap, whether it's R&B, whether it's pop, whether it's Zydeco, whatever. That's how I get out. And that's why,
I like that.
You know, that's how I built my career. So.
That's what's up.
That's definitely what's up, bro.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? Again, this is Deuce. I wanted to ask you, big brother, have you started your career that way? I have to be in the same room. I have to feel your energy in order to create the great music that you have.
Yeah, yes and no. I did used to have beat CDs to get me through the door with some people. And once I got through the door, then I wanted to sit down with them. But my first interaction with Maya, I was actually in Atlanta. Maya had got my beat CD from her manager, Dollar Bill. And I was in Atlanta, and Dollar called me and said, "Yo, Maya love your track. She recording them to him tonight. Pull up." And I'm like, "I'm in Atlanta." And so I called me a flight home. Maya's recording. Like, I changed my flight.
Yeah, I would have did the same shit.
Absolutely. I'd have left after, on the table.
Right. After I got that, then she was like, "Well, I want you to produce my next album." So me and her sat in the studio together and recorded. You know, I did shit from scratch because it's a different vibe. And the one thing I hate CDs or you sending somebody a pack is like you send them something, they be like, "Well, yeah, I like it, but I was looking for something more like X, Y, and Z." Well, shit, I can sit down and play X, Y, and Z. That's why I want to get in the room with you. I don't want to waste your time sending you some shit and I don't want to lock you into an MP3 that's in your email. I want to be able to change something on the go if I want to, or you change something, you know what I mean? And when you're sitting down from scratch, you can do that. So I did and I didn't. More so, yes, but I did used to have to send a couple of beat CDs at times to, you know, people. But once they heard the beat CD, that just got me through the dough. So the next record we're doing, I'm doing from scratch.
Dude, you like speaking to my soul right now, bro. Like no lie, bro. Like, this is crazy. Like, I feel the same exact way, yo. Like, if I'm in the room with somebody, it's a whole different vibe. But if I'm like just saying you a beat CD, like you're just picking something and hoping that like something fits your vibe or whatever. And then like if I'm in the room with you, it's just we could create, we could develop, we could build on it. We, like you said, we could eat, we could chill, like we could there's so many numerous things we could get into to where like the production is going to be so much more live, or it's going to be so much more better.
Exactly. It's the vibe that you can't get vibes from writing from a beat pack. I mean, you can get some nice records. Now that's not deny technology place right now. We're not going to just say everything that's written from a beat pack is whack. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to get these classics and these timeless records, you need the squad in there. You need to be with the writer. You need to be with the producer. You need to be in there. You're vibing off each other. It's going to make the track feel more organic, you know? And so that's what we got to get back to. I know it takes a little more money and it takes a little more time, but like, if you look, you know, at Jermaine Dupri's lives, he be showing, man, him in the studio when they did Money Longs Made For Me. They was in the studio together. They wrote that bitch together. They didn't send her a beat pack and say, write the record. The joint they did with Ari Lennox, all them artists they work with, they bring them into the studio. Hey, let's work in the studio. And that's what's missing from this music, because people can record in they living room and they closet and put that shit on DistroKid.
Mm-hmm. Yo, dude, I ain't gonna lie, DJ Sean. Some of my best tracks that you heard that you were like, "Yo, Joy, Jetty, I'm gonna put that on rotation on my station or whatever." Blah blah blah. You got one right there. Yo, some of them are like what D Box is just saying, bro. Like it was like right then I made the beat
and I was feeling the vibe right then in the moment. I was like, I gotta go now. I gotta write to this now, or I gotta do this right now, because like I'm not gonna have that same feeling tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I'm probably gonna lose. I'm gonna lose that energy. I'm gonna lose that feel. So like, sometimes you can go back to something that you made like a year ago, a month ago, a day ago, a week ago, or whatever, a few hours ago, and you could get a vibe from that. But sometimes like your best shit really comes from like right there in the moment.
Right. Yeah.
That's a fact.
Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, man.
On Instagram, which is the one I use the most, I am DBOTTZYOUBEATIN. It's D-Bots You Beaten when it comes to music, or D-Bots You Be Eaten when it comes to food. It has multiple meanings. You can follow the cookout. The event has its own IG also, at the cookout with 3 underscores. If you look at my bio, you will see that. I'm on TikTok too. It's the same thing, D-Bots You Beaten. I'm on Twitter. I don't really use it a lot that much, but I'm on there. And on Facebook, my government's on Facebook, Davion Bots, DAVIONBOTTS. Facebook, I do a lot of comedy. That gets more of my comedy side, because I am a stand-up comedian too. And so follow me. You know, I'm big on networking. I do a lot of supportive things. I'm always supporting people, whether it's sharing it in my story or connecting the dots with people. I am big on networking, as I have cultivated the number one entertainment independent summit in the world called The Cookout. So that's what I do.
That's what I'm talking about. And we're definitely gonna be hooked in, man, you know, with the cookout thing, and then, you know, getting up, breaking bread with the book and everything as well too, man. Yeah, yes sir.
Yep. Definitely followed you on Instagram, good brother. Definitely just followed you.
Okay, let me follow you back, because sometimes I get ADHD. And then my notifications start going crazy, bro. And I'll be buried. So I just followed y'all back though. Cause I'm gonna take a screenshot of this and then, you know, do a little promotion for my story.
Appreciate you, man. Definitely, man. Appreciate that.
Any advice you want to give to the young cats that out there trying to make beats and produce, man? Any advice you want to give them, man?
What I tell the producers that I mentor is, you know, find your sound. Create your sound. Don't produce what you hear, but produce what you hear. And I always have to say that a couple times, because they don't really get it the first time. Don't produce, and listen to the inflections of how I say it. Don't produce what you hear, but produce what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, you can listen to the radio, you can listen to whatever. That's already been done. So produce what you feel. Produce what's in your brain and find your lane, you know, because music is so watered down. Producers and beat makers and all everything else, that it's their shit. You can go, everybody and their mama do music. I got a mentee who is 15, be making beats on his laptop at lunch in high school. Dope as hell. I mean, brother is 15. Everybody and their mama produce. Everybody do music now.
Yeah, everybody. That's when I started.
Yeah, you walk into any place you go to, store, car lot, I guarantee you it's about 5 people that do music in some form of fashion.
In some form of fashion, bro.
At 15 years old, D, we got to get him on the show, man, and talk
Definitely.
About him at 15, man.
Yeah, I need to get his perspective on like what it is now, because I know what it was like when I was 14, 15, so I got to hear his perspective on what generation we in now.
Man, they changed. Oh, God dang, but you don't know which one.
I don't know. It's double Z now? Where we at?
So everybody does music. So that's one. And then the second one is learn some music theory. I'm not asking you to play the keyboard or the piano like Beethoven or, you know, whatever, but learn some type of theory. Learn some. It will take your production to another level, and it will separate you from those who are just loop aggregators or beat makers, because beat makers versus producers, there is a difference.
There is a difference. A producer will, a beat maker will just make a beat. A producer will actually sit down with you and grow with you.
Well, a beat maker can just give you a beat. A producer can take you from start to finish on a record
and develop your record, help you with your record.
Yeah, they can do it all. So
I definitely commend you, good brother. I definitely commend you.
I appreciate it, man. I thank y'all for having me. Anytime.
Yes.
Anytime. I'm here, man. I'm here.
Well, I'll be reaching out to you tomorrow. I'll be connecting with you tomorrow. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm with it.
Yes, sir.
Man, this whole interview is just.
Dynamite.
That's how I feel.
All right.
So, I just want, before we leave and get out of here, I just wanted to play this one little clip that basically, you know, I like to play my Michael Jackson stuff. So, here we go. Just want to let y'all see what y'all think.
Michael Jackson watched Quincy Jones' daughters grow up. Fast forward years later, Tupac is dating one of the daughters.
They're having a party. Michael Jackson's there. Kadabi is sitting on Mike's lap.
Tupac comes out the party.
He comes in, he sees Kadabi Jones. That's his fucking Kadabi.
Disrespect. Like, bitch, shut up. Come the fuck on. Shut the fuck up and get in the car.
Grab Kadabi's arm. Mike grab her arm.
Mike stepped to him. Yo, you can't talk to her like that.
And Mike said, watch out, cut. You still got to end up with my sister, homie.
He was like, Mike, mind your fucking business. Mike was like, fuck no. That's like my niece. You ain't going to just talk to her like that.
Pac swing, Mike duck it. Mike give him a left, boom. He give him a left, Pac, karate kick. Yeah, Mike block the kick. Yeah, they go to the ground. Squad up, we come break it up. Mike got grass in his palm. Pac got like a shot.
Michael Jackson beat his ass.
They say Mike beat him up, but I said, Pac swung first. Mike 6'2", nigga. It's Joe Jackson's son.
Joe beat that ass. And Joe was a hard rock. Remember, this man grew up in Gary, Indiana. You know about them small little towns?
Gary, Indiana is down the street from Chicago. The mob. That's where the mob at.
Tupac loved to fight, but he can't fight.
Tupac loved to fight. He can't fight, but he loved to fight. So they hugged it out. But they're saying, Mike. Beat up Tupac. I said, I don't know.
But look at the content of his records. Listen to the shit he's saying. You want to be starting something, nigga?
Mike, man, see.
Beat it. You're talking about beating ass right there.
Hey, I think Mike whooped Tupac ass, yo. Until he woke up with Mike with grass in his perm. That's a crazy story, though. That's a crazy story.
Right.
But this is We Got Beats on the Hilltop Radio Show. We had our man D-Bot, 6-time Grammy-nominated producer, on tonight. I want to commend my brother for all his achievements, all his accomplishments, and many more achievements to come to my good brother there. And you know you can catch us on Sunday nights on the Hilltop Radio Show. You can catch us Monday nights on the Hilltop Radio Show. And then we got Tuesday with the Soulful Experience. And Wednesdays we got my girl Letitia. And then on Thursdays we got Beats once again rolling around the clock. So, you know, tune in. Hilltop Radio Show.
Your music mix variety right here. WHDP Radio.
Charlotte and the Carolinas on lock. Worldwide, baby.
Your number one mix variety station.
And we out.
Yeah.